You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this is just going on around new e-commerce laws which are coming potentially into play. So data protection and technology company regulations are common conversations in this day and age, and it looks like New Zealand is delving further into these discussions. So we as a country have just joined a breakaway group of about 70 countries who want to implement a new set of global e-commerce rules. And it's claimed that these rules will benefit small businesses by enabling them to participate in cross-border trade. However, many critics are saying that these rules aren't simply about trade, but more so they actually restrict governments' abilities to regulate data, digital networks, and online marketplaces. So today I spoke to Auckland University law professor Jane Kelsey to find out more and began by asking what these new e-commerce rules mean for the New Zealand economy. I'll also just a quick note, at about the 5.5 minute mark, a fire alarm will go off, which unfortunately I couldn't edit out, but it's not too distracting.
The question isn't just what they mean for the New Zealand economy, but what they mean for New Zealand society, because everything now is basically operated through some digital technologies, whether we're looking at buying food from Countdown online, or we're booking travel, or we're doing university courses and so on. So the question of who controls the technology, who controls the data, the information about how you're using it, who controls the payment systems, who decides what comes on and off the internet and so on, all of those are crucial questions, and these new rules aim to take away the ability to regulate those kind of questions.
So will data be more vulnerable when these rules come into place? Like, how is this going to affect day-to-day life for people in New Zealand?
Well, data is described as the new oil. It's the new super valuable resource. And who controls it, what they can do with it, where they can hold it, is becoming one of the questions of the 21st century. The rules in this agreement, which is pushed very heavily by the likes of Google and Facebook and Amazon, that those who hold the data can have it in any country they want in the world, subject to the rules of that country, not the rules of the country that the data comes from. And that means New Zealand's ability to control the use of data for the benefit of New Zealanders and to protect the interests of New Zealanders is severely undermined. And the protections that we've seen so far in these kind of agreements are not adequate to satisfy concerns about the way that those big companies may use and abuse the data.
So David Parker says that these rules will benefit small businesses as it enables them to participate in cross-border trade. What are your thoughts on this? Is there something inherently bad with global e-commerce agreements?
In theory, you can now have small traders playing internationally in the marketplace through the internet. But in reality, the digital trading platforms are controlled by the big players, you know, the Amazons, the Expedias and so on. And they set the terms on which you can participate. And in fact, one of the things that they discovered in Europe was Google, for example, was putting its own products on the first page and the second page. And so people didn't actually get to, other businesses didn't get to have their products viewed, because who clicks through to the third page or the fourth page? And so when they control the search engines and they control the terms on which companies can list on their particular electronic marketplace, it's not a level playing field. And so, you know, in theory it sounds great. In practice, that's not the way it's worked. And these new e-commerce rules are going to strengthen the grip that the big companies have by tying the hands of governments regulating their anti-competitive practices.
Why do you think that 70 countries are wanting to push for these new rules?
I've been a part of a big debate internationally, including in the World Trade Organization, for several years over this issue. And in fact, at the ministerial meeting of the WTO in Argentina at the end of 2017, the idea of having these negotiations was rejected. So New Zealand is part of a kind of breakaway group who are seeing this as something they want to have in the World Trade Organization. Other digital groups are saying it's actually about digital governance. It has nothing to do with the WTO. They shouldn't be the ones making the rules. But there's lots of developing countries as well saying, hold on, what this does, it's a bit like the old 19th and 20th century rules where the first movers were the ones who benefited, and those who needed to play catch up were never going to have a chance to catch up because they couldn't make rules that would help them do so. New Zealand is actually kind of in a similar situation here. We have real dependency on the international players, but there are other reasons, political reasons relating to the WTO, why New Zealand has been a part of this, as well as being an anti-China issue, because when I talked to New Zealand officials in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade about this, their rationale for supporting it was that they were hearing from a number of businesses operating in China that China's digital rules were difficult for them. Mm. And so you've got a very narrow set of interests that have been driving the government position without looking at what the domestic consequences are of adopting rules that tie the hands of government in relation to digital governance. And I've been applying under the Official Information Act for the legal advice that's been given to the government on this, and what I got back was heavily censored, but from what I could see, even from what I got, there's a lot of important questions that are not being asked, and New Zealand needs to hold back and ask those questions and debate it within the country before they start signing us up to these rules.
Mm. Also, if we've seen over in the States, Amazon pretty much has a monopoly going on. Do you think that something like that could start happening in New Zealand if these rules were to come into play?
If we look at the history of the rules, they first appeared in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement negotiations, and they were actually based on a wish list from the big tech players, the Googles and Apples and Amazons and Facebook, about how they wanted the lack of regulation in the US made a global rule book. And so the US basically was implementing rules written by and for the big players. And that is already in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And New Zealand has already signed up to those rules in relation to the TPPA, and they weren't changed in its successor agreement once the US dropped out. And so that there was never a leak of that text, so we weren't able to analyse it and challenge what they were doing, and they've already signed up to that rule book from the US, reflecting the US interests. We think that that needs to be revisited because most of the countries didn't understand what they were doing, and it certainly needs to not be cemented even further through the World Trade Organization that covers something like 160 countries in the world.
Do you have any last things you'd like to add, or what we can actually do as individuals? Do we have any power in this situation?
There are a group of us, I work on the kind of legal side of these things here and internationally, and then there's tech people and geeks and so on who are now going to get together in a working group to start to think through in practical detail what this means for New Zealand and start getting that information out there so that people who are already feeling a bit concerned about the way that the internet is operating, that it sounded great to start with, but we're now starting to see it has some downsides. People can come informed and they can start to put pressure on the government as to how it operates in this arena.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.